presents a celebration of the work of Willie Rushton on I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Our first round is called Historical Postcards. In this round, teams, I'd like you please to come up with some postcard messages likely to have been sent by famous historical figures from a certain holiday destination. Willie.
Found this one from Wordsworth, from Tintern Abbey, saying, "Dear Dorothy, have you got a rhyme for either Tintern or Abbey?"
Graham?
This is Nelson to Lady Hamilton. Having a great time at Trafalgar, apart from the pigeons. Captain Hardy has shown me great loyalty and affection, though I still have to remind him no tongues. Can't wait to be back with you. Hope the eye and the arm are enough to be going on with. P.S. Please send half bottle of Optrex.
Captain Scott from the Antarctic. The weather's not up to much. Catering poor. Oates is popping out to post this now.
And Willie, I'd like you to sing the words of the Laughing Policeman to the tune of As Time Goes By.
So would I.
I know a fat old policeman. He's always on our street. A fat, jolly red-faced man. He really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman. He's never known to frown, and everybody says he's the happiest man in town. Ha 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 ha.
I'd like you please, teams, to suggest some extracts from possible sequels to classic works of literature by new authors. And you're going to start, Willie, and I'd like you to suggest some extracts from a sequel to Moby Dick, as written by Raymond Chandler.
When I came round, I was lying face down on the beach at Santa Barbara. Then I heard a voice. "I'm looking for a private dick," she said. I looked up. She was beautiful. Her body shimmered like fish skin. She had lips like Andrew Lloyd Webber and gills like Prince Charles. This wasn't surprising. She was a herring. "I'm a dick," I gasped. "Moby Dick, too. Is that a gun under your jacket?" she said, "or you're just pleased to see me?" "That's Gregory Peck," I said. "I haven't been able to shake him off since the end of Moby Dick 1. She laughed like whitebait tap dancing on a bed of wet lettuce. I was in love and several sizes too big for her.
Our next round is called Notes and Queries. Glancing in my copy of The Guardian the other day, teams, I was pleased to read an interesting question and answer section which they call Snots and Queasy. So with this in mind, I'd like you please to pool your considerable knowledge and to provide answers to the following niggling little questions. Graham, I'll put the first one to you. Do spiders have ears?
If you really care, Humph. There was actually a famous experiment proving that they have ears in their legs. Because if you made a loud noise, a spider will run away. But if you pull its legs off...
Well, actually, you've come so close to the right answer that... Because, as you well know, Graham, you were trying to put it... I'll put it more concisely than you did. What are we talking about? Spiders do have very sensitive hairs on their legs. Isn't that interesting? Now, Tim, why should you never put ripe bananas next to cut flowers?
Because they stick out like sore thumbs.
Thank you, sir.
I'll tell you why, because it's interesting. Ripe bananas give off a special gas, ethene. It's called ethene or ethene, which speeds up the ripening in other fruit and vegetation.
Gosh.
Willie, why do the clergy wear dog collars?
Why does the Archbishop of Canterbury worry sheep?
The boring answer is that a visiting Roman Catholic order first wore them in the 1840s, and the look caught on. Barry, who was the Frenchman who proposed the theory that the wind is caused by trees waving their branches? And did he have any other interesting theories?
I know this one. This was Jacques Le Convert, who had another theory about farts were caused by people saying, "Was that you?" Wind-orientated. The man was obsessed.
I have here a not very concise real answer. It was probably a Swiss man called Jean Piaget who made various studies into trans... Oh, God, I can't be bothered. Okay, here are some more for anyone to answer. Do giraffes take special precautions during thunderstorms?
Yes. They dash down to the chemist and buy an enormous packet of three.
The official answer is no. Why are eggs egg-shaped?
Never mind that. How do hens know the size of egg cup?
Well, the actual answer is that the curve provides the strongest resistance to outside forces. Is it true that cows sitting down is a portent of rain?
Possibly, but it's not as reliable a portent as a pharmacy full of giraffes.
The next round is entitled Good Morning Radio. It's a game subtly adapted from morning television by adding the word radio. And changed beyond all recognition by adding the word good. In this round, teams, I'd like you to alternate as interviewers and guests on a breakfast chat show. As you would expect of the genre, the job of the interviewers is to prevent their guests from saying anything of interest. Points will be awarded to the guests for any interesting information they're able to slip in. So without further ado, let's find out who the guests are today on BGTV with your hosts, Barry and Graham.
Good morning.
Morning.
And, well, over the years on the couch, we've had a lot of fun, actually.
And then the guests came in.
Yeah. And this morning we're very privileged to have Her Majesty the Queen and Princess Margaret.
Now, good morning.
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 Mums, before we...
Morning.
Before...
Good morning. Morning. And to all my people, good morning. To all my sister's people. Morning.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but...
I shall well, thank you.
Before we get to the makeover... I wondered if you had any hints on Caribbean cooking.
Just put everything in that pot.
Yes, that's what we do, yes.
We wouldn't touch it with a barge pole.
Do you ever go...
We wouldn't touch a barge pole. We don't know what a barge pole is.
Your Majesty, has your facial hair ever caused you...
embarrassment in public.
I once grew a 14-inch beard just for the hell of it. It's just a trick of the light. It doesn't show on the stamps at all.
I don't want to hurry you along, but I'm expecting...
Who is that?
Gold
That's
trumpet
nice
in waiting.
Humphrey Littleton. He's going to play for us, eh? Are you going to sing with him, Doc? Probably. We're beginning to sound like Injun Brackets. We are.
Willie, why hit by a golf ball do golfers shout four?
Because the ball has usually struck the victim before they can finish saying, for what it's worth, you're about to be struck by a golf ball.
Okay, it's a round now to test the team's musical skills, known in the trade as a quickie. It's the round called Pick Up Song. We're going to hear some well-known records to which the teams will sing along. Luckily, DJ Samantha has an impressive set of 45s, which she'll kindly get. Which you'll kindly get out and spin for our delight. She's poised at the disco turntable, ready to reduce the intoned modulation of the sound frequency to nil, a process known to radiophonic engineers as twisting the knob. As the volume fades away, the teams will continue to sing, the object being to stay in time with the record. If when the music reappears, they're within a gnat's pizzicato of the original... I'll be awarding points, and points mean prizes. What do points mean?
Prizes!
I wasn't asking you. This week's prize comes from the Duchess of York's essential hair care range. It's a year's supply of wash and go skiing. Willie, you're to start. I'd like you to accompany Frankie Lane singing Rawhide.
Rolling, 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 rolling. It's quite easy so far.
Rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling.
Ah!
Oh, that's quite fun. Rolling, 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 though the streams are swollen, keep them dokies rolling, rawhide, through rain and wind and weather, hell bent for leather, wishing my girl was by my side. All the things I'm missing, good victuals, loving, kissing, awaiting at the end of my ride. Move 'em on, head 'em up, move 'em on, head 'em up, rawhide, crack, let 'em out, ride 'em in, let 'em out, cut 'em out, ride 'em in, rawhide.
Willie, one for you now. If the gents is closed, is there anything from stopping me nipping into the ladies?
Yes. Euro regulation CP4539-7277B, which states in the event of closure of gentlemen's lavatory, you may only evacuate in your hat and urinate on the rear offside leg of a Belgian.
Well, I must tell you that according to Guardian reader Rachel Meir of Leicester, there'll be a queue in the ladies, so don't bother.
And the graffiti's much neater in there. Well, it would be. They've got the hands free.
Okay, well, it's now time to play a round of sound charades. This is similar to the old parlor game of charades, in which the players mime film, book, and play titles for the others to guess. However, in our version, as you probably know, the panelists are permitted the use of their mouths. Recently, we experimented with a similar game called smell charades. But we were forced to evacuate the studio after Willie did Animal Farm.
Stereo, be fair.
Sir Teams, making use of nothing but your verbal dexterity, I'd like you please to take it in turns to enact the title of a well-known film, book, or TV program for the opposing team to guess. Tim and Willie, you're to start, and your title will shortly be broadcast to our theatre audience via the laser projector for Barry and Graham to guess. Meanwhile, here's the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Zulu. Zulu.
Okay.
It's one word.
And it's a film. It's commencing now. excuse me. Excuse me. I wondered if you could just...
Yes. Turn left at the Elephant House.
Yes.
Cross the zebra. On past the pelican. And it's third on your right.
Oh. Thank you very much indeed. Okay. Thank you.
The end.
Directions in a zoo, but one word.
There isn't a new blockbuster out called Whipsnade, is
there? Sounds terrific.
I'd like to see it. Yeah.
Does the syllable zoo appear in the one word?
Yes. It does.
You've got it, haven't you?
No.
What's the one place you find that you're looking for?
I thought it came out of my performance as I was a man, crossed legs.
Zulu.
Zulu. Ah.
Right, now, Willie, here's one for you. Will you please describe the beheading of Charles I in the style of an agony aunt?
Dear Charles I. It is, of course, so easy to be wise after the event. So, of course, given the event, in your case, the reverse is probably true. When the head is severed from the body, wisdom tends to go straight out of the window. How sensible of you, though, to take my advice and wear three shirts. It was foolish of you, however, to ignore my best suggestion, not to turn up. So you were pig-ignorant before and during the event, and even more so afterwards. But then again, you have a descendant of the same name who talks to lupins. And he's constantly writing to me, "What a family, love Auntie Will."
Willie, why... Keep it short, please. Why does one never see baby pigeons?
One never looks.
So, teams, time to describe for us some exciting new inventions that you consider might be of interest to the people of the Innovations Catalogue. Willie, how about you?
A waste disposal unit that sounds like Lloyd Grossman. They've done that already. You will not fail to thrill to the whistling dildo. A lot more fun than Ronnie Ronald, and admittedly, not as much use as luminous car clubs. A bouncy Windsor castle, if you happen to have royal children, with inflammable west wing. And puncture outfit. Live dangerously. The Russian roulette cigarette lighter and nasal hair remover. Oh, there goes my dildo.
Moving on, we come to a new round called Salesman of the Century, which has nothing to do with Nicholas Parsons. But then who does? In it, I'd like the team members to take the roles of long-forgotten characters from history. Not much acting in that bit. They'll have to deal with a visit from two door-to-door salesmen trying to sell them something they never knew that they needed. Okay, Tim and Willie, I'd like you to assume the identity of Mr. and Mrs. Noah. And Barry and Graham, you can be door-to-door salesmen selling dusters.
Bing bong.
Thank you.
I was downstairs checking the fish.
You met Mrs. Noah, have you?
Morning.
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 Morning. We're on a scheme. we got card. Here's my card. You can see it's got a picture of somebody on it. And we wondered if we could sell you any dusters at all.
No, thank you.
Well, we don't just have dusters.
Oh, no. We've got oven gloves.
Yeah.
By the brace.
What?
Mop heads.
What use?
Lovable mop heads we've got.
People keep thinking we say mopeds. We have to clarify. We have to clarify that. Lovely garden you've got. Never seen one on an ark before. We've got sponges and
we've
chamois.
We've got a nice chamois. We've got two nice chamois. If you're sure.
We use the hedgehogs. You can buff something up lovely with a hedgehog.
Yeah, we've got that. We've got some nice lemon cleaning liquid. You'll have the cleanest lemons on the Seven Seas.
Those elephants must be a trial.
And
Japheth handles the elephants.
Who does? So
well, that's rather, an offence, isn't it?
We'd rather not talk about it.
He must be very tall.
He stands on a giraffe, it's...
You'll need stocking up. It's going to be a long time to Ararat.
40 days and 40 nights. We've got the timetable.
Well, there's points failure at Peterborough.
No, thank you.
Squeegee.
Willie, now, if my sources are to be trusted, you've discovered some sort of diaries from the great Mahatma Gandhi.
Mahatma Gandhi. July the 8th. First thing, I went to my spinning wheel and ran up a handsome pale grey loincloth that would set off my very nice new blazer. The question of the day, the big one, is which hairpiece to wear. Lord Mountbatten gave me his nice ginger one for my birthday. And it looks very fine indeed. Mr. Churchill is going to feel the rough edge of my tongue.
And
July the 9th. I awoke to the delightful sound of my good lady wife, Mrs. Mandy Rice Gandhi, singing Goldfinger to herself over the kitcheree. I emptied a bottle of chartreuse over my Cocoa Pops and readjusted my toupee.
Genuine. It's time now for a round of limericks. Actually, it's quite interesting where the name limerick comes from. It's a corruption of the old French word for America, l'Amérique. No, it's true. It's not a bluff, it's true. French migrants sailing to the New World would be blown off course to Southern Ireland, where they landed and mistakenly called it L'America. There's still a large community of Limerick French to this day, as visitors to their annual festival of sheep burning and lorry wrecking will testify. Right, teams, I shall furnish you with a potential pact opening, which I'd like you to complete in turn, taking one line each. Graham, you're going to start. A porter from Gonville and Keys.
A porter from Gonville and Keys grew potatoes on both of his knees.
On the end of his nose
grew a rare kind of rose. But you'll never guess where he grew these.
Tim, here's yours. While out with a couple of blues.
I didn't know which one to choose.
The one with the squint?
Or the one with the splint?
I have both. I've got nothing to lose.
Ha, ha, ha. Barry, here's yours. Well, out on the cam in a punt.
I saw Reverend Spooner in front.
He said, "What a day gay."
And anchors away.
And make way for my podding sunt.
And finally, here's yours, Willie. If you're studying natural science...
If you're studying natural science, I suggest that you wear this appliance.
You strap it on thus.
Then just hop on a bus.
And you'll find you'll get masses of clients.
And finally, a duet for you, Tim and Willie. I'd like you, please, to once more assume the identities of the Queen and Princess Margaret. Singing Sisters.
Never such devoted sister. Never had to have a chaperone.
No, sir. We are there to keep our eye on her.
Caring.
Sharing.